The Old Testament lesson is from the prophet Isaiah, the 12th chapter. The Lord God is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. With joy will you draw water from the wells of salvation, and you will say in that day, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the peoples, proclaim that his name is exalted. Sing praises to the Lord, for he has done gloriously. Let this be made known in all the earth. Shout and sing for joy, O inhabitants of Zion, for great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel. The second lesson is from the letter to the Hebrews, the 9th chapter. But when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things that have come, then through the greater and more perfect tent, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, he entered once for all into the holy places, not by means of blood of goats or calves, but by the means of his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption. For if the blood of goats and bulls and the sprinkling of defiled persons with the ashes of a heifer sanctify for the purification of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Therefore, he is the mediator of a new covenant, so that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance, since a death has occurred that redeems them from the transgressions committed under the first covenant. For where a will is involved, the death of one who made it must be established. For a while takes effect only at death, since it is not in force as long as the one who made it is alive. Therefore, not even the first covenant was inaugurated without blood. For when every commandment of the law had been declared by Moses to all the people, he took the blood of calves and goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book itself and all the people, saying, this is the blood of the covenant that God commanded for you. And in the same way, he sprinkled with the blood both the tent and all the vessels used in worship. Indeed, under the law, almost everything is purified with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. Thus, it is necessary for copies of the heavenly things to be purified with these rites, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ has entered not into the holy places made with hands, which are copy of the true things, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God on our behalf. Now was it to offer himself repeatedly, as a high priest enters the holy places every year with blood not his own? For then he would have had to suffer repeatedly since the foundation of the world. But as it is, he has appeared once for all at the end of the ages to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And just as it is appointed for man to die once, and after that comes judgment, so Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who eagerly are waiting for him. The Gospel lesson according to St. John, the 19th chapter. After this, Jesus, knowing that all was now fulfilled, said, to fulfill the scripture, I thirst. A jar full of sour wine stood there. So they put a sponge full of the sour wine on a hyssop branch and held it to his mouth. When Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Since it was a day of preparation, so that the bodies would not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for the Sabbath was a high day, the Jews asked Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. So the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and of the other who had been crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and at once there came out blood and water. He who saw it has borne witness. His testimony is true, and he knows he is telling the truth, so that you may believe. For these things took place that the scriptures might be fulfilled. Not one of his bones will be broken. And again, Scripture says, they will look on him whom they have pierced. After these things, Joseph of Arimathea, who was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, asked Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him permission. So he came and took away his body. Nicodemus also, who had earlier come to Jesus by night, came bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 75 pounds in weight. So they took the body of Jesus and bound it in linen cloths with the spices, as is the burial custom of the Jews. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new tomb in which no one had yet been laid. So because of the Jewish day of preparation, since the tomb was close at hand, they laid Jesus there. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He was delivered up to death. He was delivered for the sins of the people. Blessed is the one whose transgressions is forgiven, whose sin is covered. He was delivered up to death. He was delivered for the sins of the people. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He was delivered up to death. He was delivered for the sins of the people. And please be seated, and we continue with hymn 435. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for tonight's message comes from Mark chapter 14. While Jesus was in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper and was reclining at the table, a woman with an alabaster jar of perfume, real nard and very expensive. She broke the jar and poured the perfume on his head. Some who were there were annoyed and said to one another, "Why was this perfume wasted like this? This perfume could have been sold for more than 300 denarii and the money given to the poor." And they were grumbling at her. "Leave her alone," Jesus said. "Why should you trouble her? She has done a beautiful thing to me. The poor you always have with you, and you can help them whenever you want to, but you will not always have me. She has done what she could. She came ahead of time to pour perfume on my body to prepare it for burial. I tell you, wherever the good news is preached in the whole world, certainly what she has done will also be told in memory of her." It's believed that the woman in the text I just read was Mary of Bethany. That would have been the sister of Martha and Lazarus, who Jesus had just raised from the dead. She took an alabaster jar. Alabaster comes in yellow, brown, or white calcium deposits that are found in limestone caves. Very expensive to make in the little jars. And Jesus was eating with Simon the leper. Now, Jesus had healed Simon the leper, so maybe the dinner was in celebration of that. It also could have been in celebration of Lazarus being raised from the dead. It's interesting that the three times we hear of Mary, she's at Jesus' feet. The story that I read is a story about how do we worship. The story teaches us that all worship is good. And in verse 5, it says Mary was scolded for her behavior. Jesus basically says, "Knock it off, guys. Leave her alone. Why are you criticizing her for a good thing?" See, the disciples' worship was more formal. Mary worshiped with reckless abandon. And Jesus says, don't criticize. All genuine worship is good. For true worship to take place, we must be broken like the alabaster flask. It's the only way to get the perfume out of the flask, because it's made in one solid piece. We are made in the image of God. We have a unique perfume within us that must be poured out, and our lives are poured out to God. Mary poured out the bottle, which was very unusual. At this time, when you went to visit somebody's home, they would give you a towel and a water basin to wash your feet, and then bring out some oil, usually a couple of drops on each foot, to take care of your parched, dry feet. Mary pours out the entire bottle on Jesus. We kind of wonder sometimes, why we don't get blessings when we only give God one or two drops at a time. We need to pour it on instead of withholding or restraining. We get nervous about what other people will think. But what do you think about what Jesus thinks? Assuming there's somebody sitting in the pew with you, or the person in front or across the aisle from you, is not necessarily thinking about what you're doing. They're actually thinking, what are you thinking about them at this very moment? The only way we're more concerned about what Jesus thinks than what others are thinking is when our will is submitted. Mary did not care what others thought of her. She let down her hair and wiped Jesus' feet with her hair. We get that from other gospel accounts of the story. In ancient times, by the way, when a woman let down her hair in public, that meant she was available. Now, Mary was not in any loose or unholy way saying she was available, but she was telling Jesus that she was available for true worship with a pure heart. The second thing we notice about worship from this story is that worship must motivate our deeds. There's two deeds in this story. One is good and the other is criticized. When the disciples were critical, they right away come up with, they had a better idea. That perfume should have been sold and given to the poor. After all, isn't it better to take care of the poor than to make somebody smell good? But Mary was motivated by worship. She understood that Jesus was not always going to be with her. And the disciples were not necessarily about the money. They were going through worship by motions only. Perhaps they were too used to having Jesus around and didn't necessarily always see him as the Son of God. They saw him as one of the boys. But the Holy Spirit prompted Mary to do a very beautiful thing. Sandwiched between the priests plotting to kill him on one hand, and on the other hand, Peter's denial, this was probably a breath of fresh air for Jesus for what Mary did for her. The third thing we learn is worship will cost us everything. Mary gave without considering the cost. The perfume itself cost 300 denarii. The jar itself, the alabaster flask, cost 300 denarii. The equivalent of $30,000 today. Now, why would Mary blow $30,000? I'll tell you what she was thinking. Jesus, this most precious treasure, is not for anyone but you. We come to worship. We pour ourselves out for him, not for anybody else's benefit. The perfume was a gift that Jesus was pleased with, and Mary gave without expectation. She expected nothing in return. After all, the jar had been broken. It was now useless. All the perfume had been poured out of it. There was no way of putting it back into the bottle. Mary held nothing back. And the fourth thing we learn from Mary's worship is part of the good news. Jesus says this in verse 9 when he says, "This act will be included wherever the good news is preached." You can't receive the good news of Jesus Christ and his salvation without worship. And you'll never truly worship, without having accepted the good news in your own life. Worship is part of the good news. When we follow Mary's example, what is the result? Well, genuine worship will fill the room. The story from John's gospel says that when the flask was broken open, the aroma filled the entire room. When we worship with a pure heart before the Lord, the sweet aroma of worship fills the room. When our flesh is finally broken and we pour out our heart in worship, something happens to us. There's a fragrance that enlivens and refreshes us. We almost walk home with a skip in our step, which, by the way, I love it when kids come up to the communion rail. They come running up, bouncing and jumping. If only we adults had the same level of enthusiasm for receiving the Lord's body and blood to come running up here and jump. Now, Doug, don't let that give you an idea. Worship ought to make us feel alive spiritually. It ought to give us the strength to serve. True worship brings out the best in us. May the peace of God, which is above all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds focused on Jesus Christ to life everlasting. Amen. We rise and confess our faith together in the words of the Apostles' Creed.